A video surfaced on YouTube showing students dancing around the classroom at Asbury Park High while the instructor was chatting on the cell. I'm Ken Duffy, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and we're going to be talking about the subject today of the perseverance of the saints. Now, that perseverance of the saints, of course, is the fifth point of Calvinism, if you will, or of the doctrines of grace, which is probably a better title for that. But the doctrines of grace, the fifth point of that deals with the perseverance of the saints. And some people look at the flip side of it a little bit more so as the preservation of the saints. One dealing, of course, and highlighting the aspect of God preserving us, and the other one about the saints actually persevering, the idea of being persevering in holiness all the way until they go to be with the Lord. Let me read a couple statements to you. Here's a statement by Ligon Duncan commenting on the book that we're going to be talking about today. And by the way, the name of that book is What is the Perseverance of the Saints? It's part of a Basics of the Reformed Faith series that is put out by P&R Publishing, and this one is written by Dr. Michael Milton, and I'll introduce him in just a second. But here's Ligon Duncan talking about this book. He says, "This truth of the perseverance of the saints, which entails the final security of the believer, is a profoundly practical point of scriptural truth. Mike Milton knows that and explains and applies it to you in a wonderfully instructive and compelling way." Here's Joel Bells as well making a comment. Joel, of course, is the editor there of World Magazine. He's been on the broadcast before. He says this, "Mike Milton thinks like a scholar but writes like a pastor. He takes subtle issues and without dumbing them down, he explains them in easy-to-understand terms, and that's a wonderful gift to the church." And I think he's right. And this little booklet, I think, portrays that very well. Let me just read a little statement off the back of the book from the publisher. It says this, "In this warm, pastoral, and faithful aid for any Christian wanting to delve deeper into the doctrines of grace, Dr. Milton explains the doctrine of perseverance of the saints with sensitivity and clarity. He defines the famous, quote, fifth point of Calvinism, unquote, and distinguishes it from other theologies, including once saved, always saved. He also encourages us to delight in this beautiful doctrine and brings assurance to the believer, hope for the prodigal, and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ." I think that's an excellent summary on the back cover of this book that really states very well where we want to go in our conversation today. Let me go ahead and bring our guest into the program. I mentioned here just a moment ago that our special guest is Dr. Michael Milton. He wrote this little book for PNR, and in writing this, I should mention that he is the president and professor of practical theology at Reformed Theological Seminary in Charlotte. So just up the road here on 85 in Charlotte. With that, Dr. Milton, it's great to have you on the Knowing the Truth radio program today.
Pastor, I'm glad to be here. It's a great honor.
I was just really happy when I saw the title of your book and actually this entire series by P&R. Mm-hmm. Let me tell our listening audience that a couple of the other titles that are in this series, and I've already had, I think it was Derek Thomas that was on with me. He wrote the book on What is Providence?
Good friend of mine.
So he did a wonderful job, and we enjoyed that discussion. But let me just tell the folks that in this Basics of the Reformed Faith series, they also have titles such as How Do We Glorify God? how our children come to faith, what are election and predestination, what is biblical preaching, what is a Reformed church, what is a true Calvinist, what is justification by faith alone, and so on. So many, many titles there. This one today that we're looking at is What is the Perseverance of the Saints? I was hoping, Dr. Milton, if we could, that we would use your outline that you go through the book with. You identify four areas that I think would work wonderful here on the broadcast. First would be a definition of the doctrine, and then a look at the distortions of this doctrine, and then a defense of the doctrine, and finally, how do we delight in this doctrine? So I think that that will be a great outline for us to follow.
Okay.
But before we delve into that, let me give you an opportunity to tell us a little bit about RTS there in Charlotte, and specifically your role and responsibility there with them.
Well, thank you, Pastor. It's a great honor. I am the president of RTS Charlotte, and I'm the interim president of RTS Orlando, and seeking to persevere through both of those. Great seminary system called Reformed Theological Seminary that really dates back to theological controversies in the Southern Presbyterian Church that caused one man, Sam Patterson, evangelist, and then some laymen to stand with him and to say, we need to have a biblically faithful, Christ-centered, Great Commission-focused seminary. And RTS was founded in the midst of that crisis, if you will, in the church, which is the way many great movements have started, actually. And from that, and from our original campus, Jackson, Mississippi, the Lord blessed this vision and actually began to guide our leadership into seminary planting. RTS Charlotte was the third plant, if you will, following RTS Orlando and of course, original Campus Jackson. And RTS Charlotte, joining then the others, RTS Washington, which meets at McLean Presbyterian Church in suburban Washington, and RTS Atlanta, which meets on the campus of another church there in on I-75, hopefully about to get their own property. So we're one of that, and RTS Virtual, which offers Master of Arts degrees accredited online and reaching folks around the world with that. Well, RTS Charlotte has a unique place. All those seminaries within the system are a part of a one in the many. That is, they have unique emphasis, and yet we have common values, commitment to the Reformed faith, commitment to the Great Commission, to the inerrancy of the Scriptures, and to this passion of preparing pastors, as well as missionaries and other Christian leaders for the church. At RTS Charlotte, the unique focus is really a Genevan model of ministry, and that is following John Calvin's Genevan Academy of pastor scholars in a rather intimate and organic way, if you will, preparing up a new generation of pastor scholars. RTS Orlando is uniquely situated there in an international city, and out of that common confessional core that we have through a diversity of professors and student body in a place like Orlando, we're also fulfilling that mission there. So I represent both of those schools right now, but my home is Charlotte, and that's my home campus.
I was Frank Wright the former president there at Charlotte?
He was, and maybe you know that Frank Reich was a quarterback for the Buffalo Bills.
I'm originally from Buffalo, New York, I know it very well.
You know, it's very interesting, Pastor. When I was interviewed, one of the first questions our Chancellor, Rick Canada, asked me was, how can I throw a down and out? And I'm trying to figure, what does that have to do with being a president?
Exactly.
And he says, well, Frank Reich was the last president here. He was the second, Rick Canada himself being the first, who is now our chancellor. Frank is got a pretty good gig. He is an ordained minister in the ARP, and he happens to be the quarterback coach also for the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, is he doing that? I didn't realize that. Huh?
Yeah.
I thought that he was the church that he was pastoring was right there outside of Charlotte. But,
well, he did, in fact, pastor Ballantyne Presbyterian Church, an ARP church here, and he ended up leaving that. He was involved with evangelistic preaching around the country, and then most recently settled. And, you know, he's also, he provides chaplain support for that team and for others. So the Lord is giving him a most interesting pulpit to preach from.
That's excellent. We brought him here to Greenville. We had him speak at our, we have a pastor's fellowship that gets together here in Greenville. By the way, folks, pastors listening out there, there's another one coming up in September, and you can see the details about that out on the knowingthetruth.org website. I'll just leave it at that. You can go out there and click on it and find out all the details. It's a free one, by the way. You know, that might be one note that you'd like to know, but that's for our pastors listening. And then, but we brought him here to Greenville. He spoke to our pastors' fellowship, and then he was so gracious. I took him over to the Miracle Hill Boys' home here in town.
Yeah.
And we bought footballs for all the boys over there, and he signed all the footballs, and they just really enjoyed their time where he came in and spoke to them. And so
that's just fantastic.
Yeah, he's a wonderful guy.
Well, the Lord has brought us from some interesting backgrounds. I come from a more traditional one. I was pastor at First Pres in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and before that was a church planter, and before that was in business in my 30s for the Ashland Chemical Company and Dow Chemical, and before that was in naval intelligence and was an Albanian linguist. So you just never know.
Any of our Albanian listeners that are out there, here's your opportunity to participate in the program. Amen, I think.
Yes.
Let's go ahead, and we're going to take our first commercial break. And when we come back, we'll go ahead and start on that first area that you outlined in your book, a definition of this doctrine. What is perseverance of the saints? We'll work with or start a good working definition of that. Let me tell our listeners, you can participate in the conversation today. 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Twitter is up and running, and also my email's up and running, kevin@knowingthetruth.org. Talk to you in just a few moments.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Hi, this is Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and I want to urge you to listen to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. I believe that this man has been chosen for this time when truth has stumbled in the streets. You need to know the truth, for the truth will set you free.
Knowing the Truth, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 o'clock on Christian Talk 660.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Speedy B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Speedy B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Speedy B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Speedy B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
As a kid, Scotty was taken to church regularly, but he kept his distance from the Lord spiritually until his senior year in high school.
One of my best friends went to a Fellowship of Christian Athletes meeting and was converted and came back and shared the gospel with me and literally drugged me to one of Billy Graham's movies, The Restless One, where I was converted.
Scotty's life changed immediately.
My conversion, this collision with the grace of God was so radical in my life that I found myself saying, truly, I cannot imagine anything in my life being more fulfilling or more essential than finding ways of communicating God's word and God's grace to this culture I'm a part of. That there's one true living God whose Son is the only Savior.
A life touched and enriched by the power and love of Jesus. Do you need that? If you'd like to learn more about a personal relationship with Christ, call us at 866-JESUS-CARES or click billygraham.org.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second portion or segment of the Knowing the Truth radio program. Today we're talking about the subject of the perseverance of the saints. And I want to let you know I do have some books to give away today. So as we go through the conversation, if you would like to get a copy of this little book, it's actually like a booklet. But if you'd like to get a copy of this, we'd be happy to send one out to you. And so let me give you those numbers again. 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. It's toll-free, and so you can call from anywhere across the nation, maybe even around the world. I have no idea. But also, you can get a hold of us on Twitter. It's the account out there is Knowing the Truth. There's also a link on the website at knowingthetruth.org. You can click there and get onto our Twitter account, or you can send me an email at kevin@knowingthetruth.org. So let's go back to our discussion today with Dr. Michael Milton. He's the president and professor of practical theology at Reformed Theological Seminary in Charlotte. I was asking Dr. Milton just before the break if we could give a little bit of a definition, a working definition, about what we mean by the perseverance of the saints. Let me read to you what the Westminster Confession of Faith says in the very first part of its definition. This is in the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 17. But it says this: of whom God, they whom God hath accepted in his beloved, effectually called and sanctified by his Holy Spirit, can neither totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace, but shall certainly persevere therein to the end and be eternally saved. If you would, Dr. Milton, we could work with that definition, of course. It's very good. But if you want to break that down a little bit for us, we'd appreciate it.
Well, it's a definition I subscribe to as being the system of doctrine taught in the Word of God. But go back to the Scriptures and begin with the Scriptures on which that confession of faith statement is formed. In the New Testament, the doctrine is stated explicitly. In one of the more beautiful Scriptures dealing with this, our Savior himself speaks in John 10:27-29, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." And the metaphor of a shepherd holding the lambs is one of the most beautiful, warm, and pastoral images of the truth of the perseverance of the saints, and that given by Christ himself. Of course, Jesus spoke more about this, but we could move to Paul, one of my favorite passages, really a life verse for myself. Paul gave a gift to the Philippians, who had given a gift to him to help the other churches in southeastern Europe. And Paul gave them a gift, and it was the gift of Philippians, the letter of the book of joy. But listen to this verse: "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion unto the day of Christ Jesus." Pastor, there's enough there to break out into an entire series about confidence arising from a doctrinal truth which has been revealed, a truth which the Apostle Paul says contains components of this divine revelation, that he began the good work. He's going to carry it through. He's going to complete it, and it's going to go all the way to the day of Jesus Christ. So our salvation is in Christ. He started it, and he's going to complete it.
Well, you highlight an excellent word there in that text, of course, the idea of confidence, because we see such little confidence in the believers today. Their confidence seems to be shaken. They seem to be impotent in many ways. They seem to lack the boldness that we see exemplified so often throughout the book of Acts. And one of the reasons, I think, is, as you were pointing out in that text, that their confidence is always, often pointed to their own abilities. Their confidence is pointed back to whether how sincere they were when they prayed the sinner's prayer, or if they, how much they understood the fullness of their knowledge at that particular time, or all of these types of things that, of course, are going to shake the confidence of any person, rather than the confidence being placed upon our God and the work that He has begun in us. Do you agree?
Not only do I agree, I felt that you were starting to get personal there, because I remember in my own life how I experienced the dread, the fear of waking up as an old man, and I dreamt this as a young man in my teens, of waking up and in the middle of the night wondering what would happen if I died. Even though I had been, I'd heard the gospel since I was a child, I had not embraced this truth. It had not been absorbed into the bloodstream of my soul, and therefore I lacked assurance. And in my case, I not only lacked assurance, I lacked an understanding of God's grace. And I do think there is a connection between understanding the biblical teaching of God's grace and the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. I don't think one of those points, one of those foundational stones of grace can be separated from the other.
Mm-hmm.
And they do relate to each other. I'm not saying that someone who is not fully convinced of this isn't a Christian, but I am saying, as a, and I try to interact with those in a in an ironic manner, if you will, in the book, I am saying that to lack assurance is to really miss out on the fullness of joy that God has for us.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree, especially that the they're building blocks as we look at the doctrines of grace, the idea, of course, of the depravity of man, the true state of man, that's their total depravity, as it's put in the acronym TULIP. And so we have this total depravity. We can't do anything in and of ourselves. We are ruined. We're polluted. We're corrupted in every possible way. And then the idea of the unconditional election of God, that He, and for His own purpose, for His own plan and purpose, He has selected us and elected us unto Himself, naturally leads to the one that many people take issue with the most, probably, is the limited atonement or particular redemption, is the way that I like to put it.
I do, too.
But the particular redemption, but it spoils the word tulip. That's the problem.
That's the
only
thing. But I do like that. I do like Spurgeon's focus on that particular word.
Yeah, that's right. And then, of course, the irresistible grace that He then draws us to Himself. We do choose Christ. We do decide for Jesus Christ, but we do so under the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. He has regenerated our hearts, and we embrace Christ as He's presented to us in the gospel. And it leads to the idea that all that work being done in us, the next thing is that we will persevere all the way to the end, that He that has chosen us in the grace, He won't lose us, as you read in that text. He's not going to, no man can come and pluck us out of His hand. We are safe and secure in the arms of our glorious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, Pastor. And perhaps deepen that definition by going into the Old Testament, we could point to the doctrine being given in a more narrative way, as we all know that doctrine is often taught both explicitly and implicitly. It's taught through narrative, particularly in the Old Testament, a collection of sacred, God-breathed narratives. But the one that I really like is one that I've been working with in my own family devotions as recent as the last couple of nights, as we've entered into 1 Samuel. And at the end of Judges, you know, every man is doing what is right in his own eyes, and you say, well, the covenant of grace, the promises of God, the the kingdom that is going to extend to the ends of the earth, the Abrahamic promises, I guess, is washed up because it looks like Israel has failed. And then you get this Moabitess woman named Ruth, and she is faithful. If Israel is not going to be faithful, God will raise up a Gentile woman, a widow woman, who will be faithful. And from that story, then you begin to move into the story, another story of a woman, and that's interesting in and of itself, that we move from sort of kings and, or at least judges and great figures and rulers down to ordinary women, and in both of these cases, rather broken women. Now a woman, Hannah, who is childless, who's being taunted by her peer in this polygamous marriage, which also speaks ill of what was happening in Israel. And, of course, a child is born, Samuel. And we look at the priest household is unfaithful. The two sons of Eli are unfaithful. His house, in fact, is going to be cut off. That's the prophecy. So in the midst of this, we've got two faithful women, and then this little boy who is given over to an unfaithful priestly household, and that little boy is Samuel, who is going to be the leader of Israel, and indeed the covenant will go forward. Mm-hmm. So the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints even shows up in a large way in, to use historians' language, in upper history and as well as lower history. It shows up in the way Israel overcomes the Canaanite fortresses and cities to gain the land, but it also shows up in Gentile women, in barren women. The doctrine shows up as God works all things together according to his own purposes, and his gifts and callings are irrevocable.
Amen. And there we see, you know, the plan and purpose of God marching down throughout the ages, and no one can frustrate him. I think
Amen.
About Daniel as you read some of those historical elements, you know, the he that's in the heaven, you know, he doeth his will in the armies of men and in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? He says, I'll build my kingdom, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He can't be frustrated by the will of man. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that and the distortions of this doctrine when we come back from the break.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
I'm Isaac Feynman here with Dr. George Auger. Dr. Auger, why did you decide to do your half hour to help?
Isaac, when I started to think about the upstate of South Carolina and the information that they get about health care, I thought they needed a place where they could get honest, relevant, practical information on all kinds of health care topics. My desire has always been to help families live healthier, happier, more vibrant lives.
Listen to your half hour to help with Dr. George Auger Wednesdays at 12:30, and also visit augercairo.com.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Speedy B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Speedy B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza. They'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Speedy B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Speedy B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
My older sister Jay was something else. This is a Johnny Erickson Tata. And I recall many a time when Jay would sidle up to Daddy to give him a hug. Oh, and I knew it meant she was going to ask him for something. I didn't know what, but I bet it was going to be money. And boy, did that bug me. Years later, I learned that Daddy knew what she was up to, but my father loved her anyway. A father's love covers a multitude of sins. A little like that story of the prodigal son in Luke, who took his inheritance and lived like a party animal. Before long, he's hungry and homeless, and he decides to go back to Daddy. The father's love for that wayward son is amazing. It's boundless. Truly, the father's love did cover a multitude of that boy's sins. So, how about you? Have you been wandering? Well, I want you to look at your Heavenly Father running toward you. He's falling on your neck and kissing you, and He wants to cover a multitude of your sins. Will you let Him?
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. Today we're talking about the subject of the perseverance of the saints. It's part of the Basics of the Reformed Faith series put out by P&R Publishing. And we're speaking with Dr. Michael Milton. And Dr. Milton is the president and professor of practical theology at Reformed Theological Seminary right up the road here in Charlotte, North Carolina. And so you can go out to their website, I'm sure, and find out information. I'll give you that website at the end of the broadcast here, but RTS in Charlotte, I'll bring that up for you and make sure that you have that so you can check out some of the courses. In fact, Dr. Milton was mentioning that they have online courses as well, so maybe you're not able to travel up there on a regular basis, although it's only an hour and a half from here, but maybe you're not able to travel up there on a regular basis and you know, would like to just go periodically, take some online courses, and then just go there periodically. I think they have that available for you on their website. I did want to let you know a couple program notes about a few upcoming broadcasts next week. I've got two lined up. Let me tell you about one coming up in September. First of all, Dr. R.C. Sproul will be back with me on the broadcast. We're actually taping it on 9/11. So we're taping it on September 11th, so I'm going to ask Dr. Sproul to comment on that because we're going to be talking about his book, The Prayer of Our Lord. So we're going to be talking about prayer, but before we get into his exposition in that book about the Lord's Prayer or the Prayer of Our Lord, I'm going to ask him to comment on prayer in general for our nation, especially in light of 9/11. Last year on 9/11, I had Dr. Albert Moeller with me, and the 9/11 did fall on my program date on a Tuesday or a Thursday, and so we spoke with him live about all that terror teaches. You can listen to that audio. There's a free MP3 download of that out on our website at knowingthetruth.org. Just go out there, click on audio files, and you'll find it there under that date. You can search under that date, by the way, there as well. Upcoming next week on the broadcast, Craig Brown is going to be with me. This is a book that was written through Reformation Trust, just a great book. It's called The Five Dilemmas of Calvinism. And so he's going to be here talking about those things. It plays off nicely from our discussion here today. And then on the 20th next week, on Thursday, Paul Copain will be with me. He wrote a book about relativism, which is certainly an important topic in our postmodern day and age that we live in. But it's called True for You, But Not for Me. You know, all of these discussion enders that people use, you know, well, you can't judge another person. Well, that may be true for you, but it's not for me. These types of things. That's what his book deals with, and so we'll be talking about that. One more program note before we go back to our conversation on Tuesday's broadcast. I did an interview with Dr. Steve Lawson about the unwavering resolve of Jonathan Edwards. First of all, we've had a tremendous response to that broadcast. I know that 1,200 people have already gone out to the blog explaining what we're doing on that broadcast, and I don't know how many hundreds, I think, downloads already, MP3 downloads of that radio broadcast. But in the middle of that broadcast, I played about a 4 or 5 minute segment of Jonathan Edwards' famous sermon, maybe the most powerful sermon ever preached on American soil, called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And it was narrated by Max McLean. I wanted to let you know that there's a free download of that sermon narrated by Max McLean on my website at knowingthetruth.org. You need to be familiar with this. This is the most famous sermon. You're a believer, right? You should know something about this sermon. You should at least have heard it before in your life. I encourage you strongly, go out there and download. It's been provided to us by the Listener's Bible, absolutely free. Go out there and download it, listen to that sermon, and then I'd love your feedback afterwards. Send me an email at kevin@knowingthetruth.org. I'd love to hear from you and hear what you think about that download. Let's go back to our discussion. This is the interesting part, I think. Up till now, anybody who's been familiar with the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, maybe sitting back there in your chair and saying, amen, amen, you know, I love that doctrine and all of those things. But here we come to the section about the distortions of this doctrine, and specifically something that you may not have considered a distortion of it, but this whole notion of the idea of once saved, always saved, and what we are really saying when that's used today in our modern context, compared with what the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints really teaches. So if you would, Dr. Milton, if you would please, tell us about this contrast between these two terms and why the concept of once saved, always saved may not go as far as it should in explaining the doctrine of perseverance of the saints.
Well, sure. I think when you get to the distortions of the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, one actually, as you say, begins on our own soil, and that is those who would have trouble with the doctrine actually begin by pointing to that phrase and then looking at our lives. Because there are some who say, well, I've walked the aisle, I've been to communicants class, I was confirmed, and therefore prayed the prayer, therefore once saved, always saved. Now, once saved, always saved, taken as it is very true. It's when it's contextualized with our lives and our faith that the problems begin. In other words, once saved, once God has regenerated you, you can't lose that. That was taught in the Old Testament, taught in the New Testament. We touched on some of those scriptures. But that phrase is really speaking of a position, a final resting place, if you will, the position of the doctrine. The perseverance of the saints is preferred because it's more comprehensive. It takes into account really what Peter was talking about in 2 Peter 1:10, where he admonishes, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we see a very full understanding of the doctrine, which includes not only eternal security coming through justification, but which is followed with sanctification. And so those are two very different doctrines, and both vital to the Christian life, of course. One is an act of God's free grace whereby he pardons our sins. He declares us just based on the merits of Jesus Christ alone. And sanctification, though, is a mortifying, a dying of self, a dying of the old man, even as we begin to live to Christ through the ordinary means of grace. So through following Jesus Christ in our lives, we're showing, in fact, that we are persevering.
Mm-hmm.
The problem comes, the distortion comes, whenever someone looked at my life a long time ago when I wasn't following the Lord, and I wasn't saved. And I was spouting off, once saved, always saved, because that was something I had heard as a little boy, and I figured I'd walk the aisle, and that was true. The problem was my life didn't show it. I wasn't making my calling and election sure. I wasn't doing as the Puritans often did, and that is there was this self-examination that went on in their lives concerning the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And as I was spouting off once saved, always saved, it was actually a Mormon who was in a dorm room with me who said, you know what, you're saying once always saved, but I don't see the saved part.
Mm.
So sometimes on our own soil, as it were, on our own side, those of us who truly believe the doctrine, we only talk about, in using the phrase once saved, always saved, we're just talking about a position, an end point. perseverance of the saints is more comprehensive. It takes into account justification and sanctification.
Mm. Exactly. A couple phrases that come to my mind, you know, you use the word position to talk about the point in time justification that takes place. That's our position in Christ. And if we're truly saved, that position never changes. We could never be as holy in God's eyes as we are at that point, because it's not our merit.
Right.
It's not our holiness. He's looking at us in the merit of Christ that has been imputed to us by faith.
Right.
And so that's true. But you also use another word. You use the word about progression.
Yes.
That our position, if we are truly saved, we will progress in holiness.
Yes.
And if there is no progression in holiness, then there is no position in Christ. In fact, I think it was John Calvin made this famous statement that I've quoted before on the radio program, but he said, faith alone saves, but a faith that saves is never alone.
Precisely.
There must be the accompaniment of good works afterwards. There must be fruit from the Christian life. Not that we trust in fruit as the root of our salvation, but fruit needs to be flowing, you know, out of our salvation. Good deeds and obedience to Christ and a progression in holiness and all of these types of things. So there's where the difference is. And, we struggle with that a lot here in the South, because there's so much cultural Christianity. Somebody says, hey, I went up to the wilds and they had a youth event up there and I threw a stick in the fire, is signifying that I have made a decision for Christ and added my name to the roll. Or somebody goes to a Billy Graham crusade or something and says, hey, I walked an aisle and I've, you know, signed a decision card and I've made a decision for Christ. But then there's little or no verifiable fruit in their life after that point. I mean, they feel almost as if they can live like the devil, and they have some sort of fire insurance card now that they can pull out to prove that they're saved. And so that's what this distortion is that we're talking about, right?
Well, that's exactly right, Pastor Bowling, that it really is a Saturday night faith with no Sunday morning follow-up, if you will.
No, I never heard
and
of that.
And so that's one distortion. The other distortion comes from the other side of the camp, and from well-meaning Christians and Christians who know their Bible and who are studying their Bible and reading their Bible,
mm-hmm.
and reading passages which speak about our responsibility and charges that are concerned about falling away. And so The other distortion then is that we're unconcerned, and it's very related to the first one,
mm-hmm.
unconcerned about holiness.
Mm-hmm.
The distortion is that we go around bragging about perseverance of saints or eternal security, and we're unconcerned about holiness. The distortion is this: we are not unconcerned because the Bible's not. The Bible does give those charges. One of my favorite passages, which combines both, and there are several, is from Psalm 90. In fact, I prayed this pastorally as I planted two churches.
Mm-hmm.
It's this, Psalm 90, 17. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, establish thou the work of our hands. Two things are given in this passage. Number one, nothing is going to be established unless God does it. Let the beauty, let the anointing, let the unction, let the sovereign grace of our Lord be upon us. In other words, God, if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. We apply that to our salvation. Lord, if you don't save me, I can't be saved. I can't do this myself. So we, in one scripture, see the beauty of the doctrine of the sovereignty of God in our salvation. And yet Moses, in this oldest of Psalms, in Psalm 90:17, also says, to establish thou the work of our hands.
Mm-hmm.
And so the work of our hands is included in this. And again, this is pointing to the progression that you've already mentioned, that if in fact we've been saved, that if, in fact, God is at work in our lives, then that there's going to be this sort of spontaneous combustion, a desire to follow God. I remember D. James Kennedy used to speak of the place of good works is gratitude. Good works is gratitude, and so it is in the perseverance of the saints. It's a distortion to say that we're unconcerned about holiness. If we are unconcerned, and if someone is justified in pointing to a Christian who holds to this doctrine, and yet there's no fruit of the Lord in their lives, then they're justified in pointing their finger, because we should have both the work of the Lord in our lives, but we should have the work of our hands.
Amen. Amen. And I'm going to read a scripture verse here as we go into the break. But I want to let people know, of course, we do believe that true believers can fall into sin. They can cause great hurt. They can grieve the Spirit. They can incur temporal judgments. There's no doubt about that. But we're not talking about being perfect. We're talking about a progression in holiness. It says this in the scripture, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Talk about it in a minute.
To Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Everyone knows a family that's hurting from the influences of our increasingly godless American culture. Serving Hurting Families is a brand new program designed to help parents navigate the waters of the tumultuous preteen and teen years. Hi, my name is Trace Embry, the director of Shepherd's Hill Farm. Join me Thursday afternoons at 12:30 as we talk about the issues families struggle with today. Together, we'll look to the Bible for hope. Serving Hurting Families will also be heard on Saturday mornings at 11 here on Christian Talk 660. I look forward to talking with you.
More and more, people are deciding to secure their family safety by applying for a South Carolina concealed weapons permit. Dry Fire's class includes the NRA basic pistol course and state training requirements for a concealed carry permit. The class includes instruction from NRA certified instructors, info on South Carolina gun laws, the written exam, and qualifying with a firearm on the outdoor range. Register for South Carolina's concealed weapons permit class by calling 608-1522 or log on to dry-fire.com.
When our nation experiences a sudden crisis, what do most people do? Flip on the TV. We want the very latest information and analysis. But do you ever find that commentators and reporters struggle for words, especially when faced with severe shock or grief? There's nothing wrong with watching the news, but ultimately, it's not the most reliable source of information. In dark times, the Word of God gives light, understanding, and wisdom. That's why sometimes we need to unplug and open the Bible. The Scripture gives us perspective. It reminds us that God is our refuge, a present help in time of trouble. It gives us faith in times that are fearful. And we're reminded that we don't have to fear, even though the earth gives way and the mountains are moved into the heart of the sea. So where do you go for true perspective? To the television, websites, or blogs? Or to the Word of God? We're seeking Him. I'm Nancy Lee DeMoss.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, last segment of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're down to just the final few minutes here. We're going to go to the phone lines in just a second. But I said that I would give you the website for RTS. Charlotte, there is the website for all of RTS. And then you can drill down and get to the Charlotte one there as well. By the way, it says right on the homepage here of the Reformed Theological Seminary's homepage, it says a new Milton sermon is available, a new sermon from Dr. Milton entitled Children in the Arms of a Loving God. It's now available on preaching.com, and they've got a link there for you. Just click on there, and you can check that out. It also says that there are some free RTS course lectures available, and you can click there and listen to them on iTunes. And so if you're interested in some free seminary-level classes, you can do that out on their website. A lot of resources, a lot of information out there for you. far too much for me to go through at the closing minutes of the broadcast. Let's go to the phone line. Ron's up with a question. Ron, how's it going?
Well, I'm just curious about the whole idea of perseverance and the holiness as it pertains to the Christian Lord's Day, because a lot of football players and a lot of sports stars and all these people that seem to get their prominent position in the church somehow drag in with them a really poor understanding of Lord's Day. So I'd like to hear the doctor explain that. What should the Christian look like in their perseverance when it comes to their serving the Lord and rejoicing in Him and responding to gratitude to Him concerning the Lord's Day?
Dr. Milton, you want to take a shot at answering that one?
Well, sure. Thanks, Ron, for the question. It's a great question because the Bible does tell us that the nation that abandons the Sabbath is a nation that is under judgment. And men of goodwill differ about this, but I think Calvin and Richard Gaffin's got a formerly of Westminster Theological Seminary, has got a good book on Calvin's view of the Sabbath. Men of goodwill differ, but I think if you boil down the Sabbath as a 1 in 7, which focuses on worship and rest, and then we have to apply that, each of us, according dictates of our own conscience. But clearly, a 1 in 7 day of worship, and on the Lord's Day, the day of the resurrection, a day of worship, a day of focusing our hearts and minds, even preparing for that day, the market day of the soul, as Puritans called it, in which we're feasting on the things of God, and gathered with believers in worship. And then also a day of rest, a day in which we seek to cease the ordinary activities of the week. This focus is, some would argue, is now no longer on a creation ordinance alone, remembering God's work in creation. I think that that continues. But it's focusing now on the eighth day of creation, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's eschatological in nature as well, as we are anticipating what God starts, God completes, that He who began the good work will bring it to completion under the day of Jesus Christ. So, like all doctrines, they're all related, and they're all practical. They have blessings and benefits for the Christian life, and the Lord's Day surely is one of those.
I think in general, too, you know, Ron's statement, not only with the keeping of the Lord's Day, which, of course, is mocked even by many Christians today, the idea of honoring that. I was just doing a little bit more reading about some of the folks in the New Covenant theology as well, and their view of the keeping of a day holy or honoring to the Lord. And, some of the statements there, I thought, are mocking towards fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't make lists for people, but I'm not ready to take out my penknife and cut out the fourth commandment out of my Bible. And so I'm not going to make a list and tell people this is acceptable and this isn't. But as you mentioned there rightfully, in their own mind, you know, they need to determine, am I honoring God by what I am doing on this particular day? And that's up to them. And there's where that self-examination comes from that you were talking about with the Puritans. I'm not there to scrutinize and examine, you know, whether they want to read the newspaper or watch a program or do some family activity, but they should be clear in their own minds as to whether they're setting this day apart. I also stress with that fourth commandment, too, that they should be working the other 6 days, which I think is a problem in our society.
That's a good point.
It implies that, and, you know, so it doesn't mean laziness. Obviously, with preachers, this is the busiest day of the week for us. I go from one service to the next and preparing in between. So, Dr. Milton, our time has run away from us. We're not going to be able to get to the idea of delighting. I'm just going to have to tell people you need to get this little booklet. It's published by P&R Publishing, and you can go out to their website at P&R Books, I think it is, right? P&R Books?
I think that's right.
That's right, PNRBooks.com, and you can go out there and find out about how you can get a copy of this. But, Dr. Milton, thank you very much for writing so succinctly here about this subject, and thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to be with us on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Well, you're very generous, Pastor Bowling. Thank you. The Lord bless and keep you.
Okay. If you want to stay on the line, I'll talk to you off air in just a second, and then we'll close out the broadcast. Well, I want to tell our listeners, you know, if you want a free download of any of the radio broadcasts, then you're certainly welcome to go out to our website at knowingthetruth.org, and there you'll find all the audio files are out there absolutely free for download. We'll see you next week, Tuesday and Thursday, right here on Knowing the Truth.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, and...